What's up, wrestling fans? Welcome to another episode of the Smark Out Moment Smack Talk Podcast. This is the November edition of the Mailbag Special, where we're going to be taking your questions that you guys submitted and, well, answering them. That's what Q&A works. Not every single one of them, by the way, because some of them you suggested we've answered before. Other ones we just don't have all that much to say about, but the majority of them are going to be addressed here. And for any of the ones that we don't talk about, go check out the link to the website's version, because I put a couple of the extra ones on that post. So who are we exactly? Well, I am your host, as always, Tony Mango, and joining me on the mic for this episode is Stephen Wego.
No, I'm not.
All right, never mind then. And Kaylin Ferris.
I am the real Stephen Wego.
Okay, so joining me on this episode is the real Stephen Wego.
Yes.
I was hoping that you would have said it.
Oh, God damn it.
And not Stephen Wego.
Hi.
Well, we got that out of the way. The assortment that we're going to address here, let's start digging in, starting off with Declan Macri. Had the brand split not taken place, who do you guys think would be the different champions that we had from before? You know, the United States, the Intercontinental, Women's Champ, Tag Team Champs, and World Champion, because all the other titles do not exist. I could still see it being AJ Styles as the world champion. I think that they planned on giving him a belt down the line, with or without the brand split. I think Kevin Owens, though, he probably would still be around the Intercontinental range. It took the brand split for him to move up a little bit. He's more than deserving of it, but I think that they would have kept him there at least a little bit longer. But also, the same thing might have applied to Roman Reigns. He still could have been the U.S. champ after that whole suspension deal. Charlotte, I got a feeling she probably still would be the women's champ because they seem really, really focused on her, and probably the New Day. So I think that most of the champions would still stay the same. Becky wouldn't get any kind of championship and call about other people in the way. Slater and Rhino, of course, would not be tag champs, but got to go with the majority of people still sticking around. So Wego, who do you got? Who would be the champions?
I honestly don't think AJ Styles would have got the world title. I think he would have had to wait much longer for that. I see Roman Reigns getting to the top, staying on top, and then getting toppled by Seth Rollins on his comeback. And basically, same storyline they played out. United States champion, I mean, it's such a weird scenario because, like, does that Roman Reigns, in this world where the draft stays, does Roman Reigns still fuck up? If that's the case, then yes, he gets demoted. In a Continental Championship, I could still see the Miz and Dolph Ziggler feuding over that. I don't know who really else you do it with. Maybe get Cesaro and a few other people in the mix.
Probably. Sheamus maybe would still be around there.
Because we all pretty much knew that Zack Ryder was losing that belt to the Miz.
Yeah.
Or somebody, right. Whoever he was going to face the next night. So it was clearly going to be two people that aren't Zack Ryder. That's what I can say. Women's champion Charlotte, they've really got a boner for her. I certainly don't. And fuck me, I know, right? The New Day, they seem to be really focused on getting them that stupid demolition record. I hope they lose it, like, just shy of it.
I'll be so pissed.
Oh, I'd be so happy.
I'm pretty much on the same page as you, Tony. I think AJ Styles would be the champion. And I don't think, like Wig was saying, they'd probably hold off on it. I think they were ready to do it when they did, regardless. So I think AJ Styles would be the champion. As far as the U.S. and the IC title, since Kevin Owens wouldn't be there, I think he would be on that line. Miz would still be around there. Probably Rusev would be in the picture. Ever since the U.S. title was dropped off of Cena, it doesn't have the same gravitas it had before. You know, it doesn't have the same excitement. So hopefully they'd put it on somebody who could build it back up there, but I'm not really wondering who that is. As far as a women's championship, definitely Charlotte. They are obsessed with her right now, and, you know, I can understand why. She's not my favorite, but there you go. Tag team champions, definitely New Day. Until they break the record or fail to break the record one way or the other, until they drop those belts, it's only about them.
More than anything, I'm interested who wouldn't have been called up from NXT, because without the brand split, we don't need to bring more people onto the roster. So we might not have, like, American Alpha might not be there, and some of the women might not be there either. Alexa Bliss might not. Carmella might not.
Carmella definitely wouldn't.
Well, who are the biggest stars? Because obviously Finn Balor's the biggest one that got called up, and he would have got called up regardless. Because there was rumblings of them doing that prior to the draft anyway.
I think Balor still would have been called up.
Yeah.
He probably would have been in, like, the Intercontinental range. Actually, he might have been the Intercontinental champion, maybe. They would have given him, like, a little run with that.
Actually, he'd be a perfect opponent to introduce for The Miz.
Yeah. I hadn't thought about that.
Hmm.
Get well soon.
And then if he would have done that, he wouldn't have been wrestling Seth Rollins, and he would have gotten injured. So, yeah. Blame the injury of Finn Balor on the brand split. It's another thing to hate it for.
God damn it.
Starting to go to Christopher Marin's questions. Number one, if you could bring one wrestler back from the dead and have one more run in WWE, who would it be? I'd be very tempted to go with Randy Savage. And I think my number two choice would probably be Mr. Perfect. But I got to go with Owen Hart. I think that he was very underrated. And if he would have been still around, he probably wouldn't have been wrestling now because he would have been too old. But he could have had a hell of a run post everything that happened with the Montreal Screwjob. And when WCW was bought out, he probably could have been like a real standby guy on the SmackDown roster or something like that. He would have been awesome. So
Brett probably would have got bought back sooner too.
Yeah, that's another thing. He would have put in the Hall of Fame because he would have had more ties to him now. His wife wouldn't have been such a bitch about it. So I got to go Owen. Then I think Perfect number two, Savage number three. Because I don't think Savage, if he was, you know, still alive, I don't think he'd really be doing much.
Hey, Tony, the question said one wrestler, not top three.
Yeah, I like that Owen Hart.
Yeah. I like all the guys you mentioned, but my biggest thing about them, for the most part, they didn't have any unfinished business. Their careers pretty much ran their course. They would hit their highs, they hit their lows. If I look at a guy who kind of had unfinished business, Eddie Guerrero.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah,
a world championship choice. A world championship match was on the horizon with Batista. That's been at least clarified by multiple people. In addition to that, there's just a bunch of matches we didn't get to get and programs we didn't get to see. A program with The Undertaker one-on-one would have been awesome. He could have been a great Undertaker opponent. You take a look at Shawn Michaels. That's a guy he never really had a little program with. They could have had an amazing WrestleMania match.
Yeah, because Shawn would have been back and then, oh, man.
He would have been a great asset for that ECW brand. He was an ECW guy once upon a time, and he could have really helped the talent down there. And then when he's in his older years, wouldn't he be a great mentor to have in NXT? That guy had so much unfinished business in that company and really only hit his peak at the end. So
that's
Eddie Guerrero is undoubtedly the one guy that I choose. I was tempted to say Benoit, but it's just like, just so the incident didn't happen.
Yeah.
And people's lives are saved. But at the same time, if he's that shitty of a human being, then the world needs to know that he's that shitty of a human being.
Technically, I guess you could say if you could bring him back from the dead, you're not necessarily bringing back the act that he did with killing Nancy and his son. That just taking him back from killing himself. So it might not be that.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, Eddie's the safe bet.
But I'm going with Wago. Eddie was the first one that popped into my head. He still had so much left to give. He was pretty much at his peak. So, you know, popularity-wise and performance-wise, and it was really a shame that we lost him so early. So I definitely have to go with Eddie Guerrero on that one.
You know who else popped into my mind about this? Umaga.
Never really a big fan.
Oh, I liked him a lot.
I was a huge fan of him, but again, I don't think he was getting anywhere beyond Battle of the Billionaires.
Probably not. But, I mean, he died at like a time where a couple months earlier, he still seemed like he could have been a pretty credible guy. So maybe if he wouldn't have died, he would have cleaned up his act a little bit, and then he would have been... Yeah, he probably would have gone to TNA and fucked up. Probably would have been that.
You know who was a good guy that just seemed to die and drop out of nowhere? Chris Harris.
I thought you were going to say Chris Hero.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah. Actually, I heard he's back on the scene and doing pretty well in Evolve now. But, yeah, Braden Walker, knock your brains out.
Question two, if you could go back in time and watch any match live, what would it be if you could only watch that one match? And then that's kind of tied into another one, which was if you could go back in time and watch any pay-per-view, go back and do that. I said if it was only one match and I'm like in the arena, Andre versus Hogan, WrestleMania 3, because that must have been like crazy to watch that at the time. Or maybe Brett versus Bulldog from SummerSlam 92. But if I got to go a pay-per-view, probably one of the WrestleManias that I never saw that people loved a whole lot, like 17.
Yeah, as I was going to say, as far as single match, I'd say the TLC 2 match for WrestleMania 17.
That's a good one.
I still go back and watch that every once in a while. Such a good match. And as far as an entire pay-per-view, probably be WrestleMania 30, because I would love to have been there when the streak was broken to see Daniel Bryan get the championship. A lot of good moments in that one.
Wigo, what about you?
Any single match is hard. Events easy. For the event, I'd actually want to go back to One Night Stand 2. Just such a hostile crowd. It would have been fun just to throw toilet paper at John Cena.
Is that the one with, I think it was Batista versus Big Show?
No, that was an episode of ECW. I'm actually just on about One Night Stand 2. It was the second pay-per-view.
If Cena wins, we riot.
Cena, yeah, RVD.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that fucking pay-per-view was so hostile. That would just would have been fun to be a part of. As far as matches go...
That's a good pick.
Fuck. It's like, there's so many good matches, and then you're like adding them up with, well, do I want to be part of a big match, or do I want to be part of a big environment?
You're going to go Doink versus Crush, right?
Does it have to be WWE?
No, why not?
No, doesn't say so.
I know it sounds funny, but I'd actually would have loved to be there for the Daniels Styles Samoa Joe match. It's in my top three matches of all time. I love that match.
I wonder if anybody would choose Jeff Hardy versus Sting.
That would have been. I would have liked to be there just to get everyone's reaction.
Just, this is bullshit. Yeah, I know.
I want my money back. I'm not paying for this shit. Oh yeah.
I'd like to be in an arena where people were rioting. That could be kind of fun. Especially if you know, like, if you go back in time knowing what's going to happen and you sit there the whole time going, oh my God, it's going to happen. That's great. Question number three or four or whatever we're on here from Christopher Marin. Who deserves a world title run that, and who didn't deserve the title run that they had? Okay. I'm just going by current roster because if we go back in time, we've already talked about Razor Ramon, Bulldog, Roddy Piper, DiBiase, that kind of stuff. Current roster, I think Sheamus and Del Rio have way too many title runs from what they should have had. They never should have won that as many times as they did.
Agreed.
Nobody on the roster right now, though, I think is ready for a world title run that hasn't had one. I would have said Kevin Owens a couple months ago, but now he's got one.
All right, now as far as people that don't deserve it, who's had it, I said don't really weird then. Oh, why? Sheamus definitely. Sheamus had his peak, so I can't say that. But Alberto Del Rio fucking sucked as a world champion, and Jack Swagger, Jesus Christ, who the fuck decided to put a world title on Jack Swagger? You dumb fucks! And then you did it again.
You won it twice.
Yeah, he wanted Money in the Bank, and he won it some other time because he's a smelly cunt. I don't remember when, though.
I thought that he won it only of the Money in the Bank, and then he lost it to Mysterio.
Are you sure?
He might have won ECW. Actually, did he win ECW? Oh, damn, I don't remember about that either.
He wins a lot of shit that he shouldn't win. Shouldn't have ever been FCW champion, let alone world champion. Oh, you're right. ECW champion one time, world champion one time, United States one time, Money in the Bank one time, Bragging Rights Trophy and the Elimination Chamber, all of which you should not have fucking won.
Not even the Bragging Rights?
Nope.
It's like you're on that the wrong team here. Jack Swagger's on your team, you have to lose. So Jack Swagger's your pick for shouldn't. What about who should that hasn't had one yet?
Shinsuke Nakamura. Should have been champion on his debut.
Caleb, what about you? Who you got?
Got Sheamus. As far as current roster, who should not have had it? Because just never been very entertaining in his title runs, I don't think. And I've never been a big fan of Sheamus just altogether. As far as who should have a title run, just talking about current roster, because I know we've done the past before. I'm going to say Rusev. I'd like to see the title on Rusev, see what he can do with it.
Oh, I've enjoyed that was a good idea. Like, if he gets like a little bit of momentum, he could do that easy.
I've enjoyed it when he's held the other titles, so I think giving him the top title would be a way to go.
I think he'll get it now that there's the brand split.
I sure hope so.
You know, when Brock Lesnar decides to be a babyface for a month, I think Rusev would be a good opponent for him.
Yeah, that'd be good. Why not?
Yeah, hasn't happened yet. I'd like that.
Still kind of a little bit disappointed that we're probably going to get Goldberg again, but, you know, I still think that that's a little bit better than the Shane McMahon idea.
I read a report that that's what they're doing for Mania.
It makes sense. Goldberg comes in at the Royal Rumble. Brock Lesnar eliminates him. They set up the WrestleMania thing. That's their blow-off.
They're going to set it up the exact same way they did it last time.
Yup. Hopefully this time they do the same camera shot where Goldberg's on the outside and he's just going...
Well, Brock was in a world title match last time, so hopefully they have both of them in the match.
But yeah, the thing is, right now, Goldberg's 2-0. So even if Lesnar wins this one, then it's 2-1. So it's
But with the last loss, they can play it off like a fluke. You beat me in that time. I'm Brock Lesnar. It was a fluke. You don't beat Brock Lesnar that way.
Plus, I mean, if he beats him from the Royal Rumble, then he kind of gets a win over him, you know?
Oh, I mean, that's bullshit. That doesn't count as anything.
It's not unheard of, too. Two giant heavyweights just clashing and ending quickly. So,
The bigger question I have is if Brock eliminates Goldberg from the Royal Rumble, who eliminates Brock? I'm thinking John Cena.
Yeah.
AJ Styles, even if he's the champion.
He just comes in and tosses him out. I want some. Actually, speaking of the Royal Rumble, that's part of our next question.
Roman
That's a good
Reigns.
Little transition.
Yeah, let's do it.
Bobby Lesnar, G86, says, if you could change any one Royal Rumble winner and have another participant in the match win, who would it be and why? I got two choices here because I couldn't really... Actually, I had three maybe, but one of them is sort of like, it doesn't really matter. The one that really doesn't matter all that much is Daniel Bryan winning instead of Batista. Everybody knows that.
I was going to say, that was the obvious one.
I'll leave more on that for you to talk about then. My other two were Chris Jericho should have won in 2012 instead of Sheamus. Because we had that Punk Jericho feud, and Punk retained at WrestleMania, so at least Jericho should have won the Royal Rumble, and Sheamus ended up having that stupid match with Daniel Bryan, so fuck Sheamus. But the other one, the one that I even more so, Big Show never should have dropped that World Championship to Del Rio, which means we never would have had Del Rio versus Swagger for the World Title at the WrestleMania that I went to, because I was pissed about that. We still could have had Del Rio versus Swagger as like a mid-card feud. Just
right there is my definition of why we don't need a draft.
Mm-hmm.
What, the world championship being Del Rio Swagger?
Yep. You got world title matches that are fucking stupid.
Yep. That could have been easily a match that would have been just like, you know, second match on the card or something like that, like a little bathroom break thing. They could have kept the exact same feud, too. It's just We the People and all that stuff against the Mexican aristocrat, whatever. But instead, Ryback should have won the 2013 Royal Rumble instead of John Cena, because John Cena still could have had that match with The Rock. Ryback could have challenged Big Show and been the world heavyweight champion instead of losing to Mark Henry, which was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
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 I'm going to say for the 2011 40-man Royal Rumble, instead of ADR winning, which, you know, not a fan of ADR, first entrant was CM Punk. Have him do the Iron Man thing. Have him enter one and end up winning it.
You I think that would have been. Liked? Same Rumble, Santino Marella wins.
Oh, come on.
No, imagine the pop, though. You got to admit, it would be fucking amazing.
People went nuts thinking that he had a chance to win.
Yeah.
If he would have actually won, I probably would have been like, this is ridiculous. Santino can't fucking end up doing this. But at the same time, would have been like, oh my God, Santino won. That's funny.
You know what? Based on them teasing that in the Elimination Chamber and him getting the same reaction, I don't think it's implausible that they could have done something with him. I wouldn't have done it. Right? I wouldn't have done it, but they could have.
Who challenged for whatever the other championship was? Because that was Edge, right? Edge Del Rio?
Yeah, Edge Del Rio.
So who was the other champion?
I
gotta imagine it's probably Cena.
Yeah, it's a safe bet.
Miz defending against Orton.
Really?
No, WrestleMania.
2011?
Yeah, 2011 was WrestleMania.
Oh, WrestleMania shit. I'm looking at the
wrong event. I don't remember that.
Oh, if that was Miz and Orton, then it was Miz and Cena.
Miz, Cena, then The Rock, and Fear, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Fine. Do fucking Santino versus Edge.
Saved better, right? As far as who I'd have with the right head, which one I'd change, it's got to be Sheamus. I don't like him winning anything.
And then you go back in time and you go like, well, did the Hacksaw really need to win a Royal Rumble?
Yeah, it's a good one too.
Although that wasn't a whole WrestleMania thing, so I guess you could just play it off as like, nah, it's fine.
That Royal Rumble, I remember being so demoralized after Sheamus won, so honestly, I would have had Jericho win.
I was rooting for Jericho so much. I was so pissed when Sheamus won.
I've always wanted Jericho to have that.
That's one of the only things he hasn't done.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, something I wanted to mention last topic. That Goldberg and Lesnar feud, I think whoever gets eliminated from the Rumble, because I think one of them's winning it, I think the other one's going to win the belt. It's going to be a title feud.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Oh, really?
I'm still hoping Balor, Owens, and Cena Styles.
I'm swaying 70% towards it being a title match.
I would not be shocked. That wouldn't surprise me at all. Have like, well, you know what? I don't know who would end the Lesnar would probably win the title.
Well, actually, I think Goldberg's going to win the title, and after reading a report that said he'll wrestle as many times as they like for the money they're paying, I think he's going to win the title of Kevin Owens, and he's going to drop it to Lesnar at Mania.
Oh,
God, I hope this doesn't happen.
I'm sorry if it does, but like, I think it's a real possibility.
Anything's possible. Stranger things have happened.
No, for WrestleMania this time coming around, I'm hoping it's Kevin Owens, Finn Balor, and as for the other title, I'm hoping it is Undertaker and John Cena.
I still want to see Undertaker Roman Reigns. AJ Styles. Or Undertaker Samoa Joe, I think, could be cool.
That's weird about Roman Reigns. I thought once they demoralized him, people would just warm up to him and he'd show everyone that he still is that good. I'm so disinterested in that guy right now. I couldn't talk about him.
Yeah, I'm getting a little tired arguing in favor of him.
Yeah, like, all the smarks are like, oh, he shouldn't be in the main event scene. And now that he's out of the main event scene, I'm like, oh, fuck, the smarks were right.
Mm-hmm. Although I won't admit it. I'll be like, no, see, he went off of that, and now he's just lingering in the mid-card. Yeah. Let's go with Howard Starr. Why didn't Hulk Hogan and The Ultimate Warrior have a second match in WWF but waited 8 years to face each other? How would you have booked Hogan versus Warrior 2 at SummerSlam 90 instead of Hogan versus Earthquake? I don't think I would have.
I wouldn't have. I wasn't born yet.
Yeah, that's true. I was 3, so maybe 2.5, depending on when it was. It was SummerSlam, though. It's August, so yeah, I was 3. So I think Hogan versus Earthquake is something different. Why not? Earthquake was kind of cool. Big fat.
I don't give a fuck about that period of wrestling. It was dog shit.
And I think
if you're an 80s wrestling fan, you liked bad wrestling, and I don't care if it offends you.
A lot of those old matches, you go back, and I'll admit it, this is going to catch some heat. I don't think Steamboat Savage is as amazing as people say.
No. There's definitely some good storytelling elements that are lost on today's wrestling, and that was being lost with the 80s style of wrestling. But
you give me that match versus, I don't know, even like the average, like Dolph Ziggler versus Daniel Bryan from Bragging Rights, that's a hell of a lot better match.
There's a combination between modern wrestling and old school storytelling wrestling that is the perfect style of wrestling. Only certain people have actually found it. Some people go one extreme or the other. Shawn Michaels implemented it. He demonstrated what it's like to mix the two. And when you get this old style of pro wrestling with this hokey bullshit angles, I don't give a fuck. Fuck 80s wrestling and fuck early 90s wrestling.
Yeah, the late 80s, early 90s. You know, I was still really young, as we all were back then. And I wasn't really watching it like I do today. I was very casual. You know, I'd watch it maybe, I don't know, just a couple times a year. You know, I knew all the guys and I'd go and watch at my friend's house, but I wasn't invested like I am now.
Right.
So as far as knowing, you know, I'm not super familiar with the ins and outs of the different storylines that were being told at the time. So I'd have to actually go back and revisit that to formulate that opinion. But right now, I don't know.
Generally speaking, I think if they would have done another Hogan Warrior match, people wouldn't care as much about the WrestleMania one. Because probably Hogan would have won.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would have been a whole thing where it's like Hogan didn't beat Warrior, even though he kicked out at the end, which was like kind of lame. But that was like the big thing. Hogan lost to Warrior, and he's the big guy now. if he would have just won to balance it out, it would have been like that whole John Cena thing where John Cena puts somebody over and then he wins the next three matches and stuff. So I think Hogan versus Earthquake is still a better option.
And I got to say this, I'm sick of being told that something from an older year is amazing and I'm meant to just agree because it's old and nostalgic. I've been given so many fucking old 80s matches. Like, I watched the first Starrcade. That pay-per-view's fucking terrible. And that fucking great cage match between Ric Flair and, fuck, I forgot who it was now. It was terrible, too.
Do you really want to watch, like, Greg the Hammer Valentine put somebody in a bear hug for 20 minutes, you know?
The reason you guys like old 80s wrestling was because kayfabe was still a thing. It felt all a lot more legit and real. It was on closed circuit television, so you had to watch it because, let's face it, your entertainment was limited. But in the grand scheme of things, it sucks, and you're a bad person.
A lot of it's nostalgia. If you were watching it around that time, you're going to like it a whole lot more. And the same thing for movies, too. Like, everybody's like,
oh, yeah.
You know, all that movie's a classic. It's so much better than the crap out nowadays. And you're like, the movies that come out now are just as good, if not better.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sure, they haven't made a Godfather in the past bunch of years, but a lot of people really love The Departed or Inception or whatever like that. So it's like, just because...
It's like every period of pro wrestling has something terrible about it. 80s?
Yeah.
Honestly, it was the in-ring work. In the 90s, it was the most hokey bullshit that it ever had been. The late 90s, early 2000s, there was a lot of dumb shit. And to be quite honest, ECW was garbage for a lot, good part of it.
The majority of it.
Mm-hmm.
I will say 2007 to 2009-10 was probably the worst period of pro wrestling ever.
Weak roster, a lot that's of focus on John Cena winning everything.
That's when I stopped watching for
that was the
years,
only
yeah.
time since I've been alive and discovered pro wrestling where I actually cut it pretty much totally 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's like an oversaturation of it, and it's a lot of problems where they just drag out a bunch of shit. Like, did we need a 2-hour pre-show for Survivor Series where we have two matches nobody gives a shit about?
No, they could have just had that one segment with Owens and Jericho.
Yeah,
at least the show ended early.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, the show did end like a half hour before we all expected.
So I have 2 hours of talking about what's going to happen on the show, and then cut it in a half hour short. You waiting for that main event? Yeah, it's going to be 3 minutes.
So, yeah, I hope we answered your question about Hogan and Warrior.
Let's move on to Awesome Piano Man. With the elections finally over and the ridiculousness but always possible candidates of 2012 being The Rock and Kanye West, do you think we'll get full Stevenson finally entering the running?
2020.
I think he would do very well in the lower Michigan region. But
I don't know. I believe he has a lot of skeletons in his closet, and I believe Cliff Clefton is looking into it.
He would be a good puppet master.
I guarantee you The Rock could win if he ran.
I would vote for The Rock. Legitimately, I would vote for The Rock.
It doesn't matter to you what his opinions or
platforms. No, I don't care as long as he says he can smell what The Rock is cooking and, after he says his spit. And as long as his like winning speech is, finally, The Rock is in the White House.
Yeah, after every speech, he does the people's eyebrow. Then that's
instead
good.
Of coming out to Hail to the Chief, he comes out to the fucking Rock theme. It does the whole, like, instead of, like, standing on the podium and, like, thanking everybody, saluting the military, he does that whole, like, put the arm up and the eyebrow raises and everything. That's his ceremonial portrait, is him doing the people's eyebrow. It'd be amazing. You know, why not?
You know what? Trump is president now. If he's on the ballot, I'm casting my vote for him.
Hey, if Trump starts acting like Garrison is right now, I hope he wins again. Okay, and I'll get on the microphone in the middle of Whole Foods. Fucking crack it up at that.
My dick's a little dry. I don't know what can help it. As crazy as it is, we have Donald fucking Trump as president. It's a WWE Hall of Famer. Why not have The Rock come in, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that The Rock would go as a Democrat, and I lean more towards Democrat than Republican. Kanye West, if he runs, that's fucking ridiculous, but...
Isn't he in a nut house right now?
I have no idea what he's up to. I fucking hate Kanye West. He's got a couple of decent songs, I'll admit it, but...
Yeah, we actually had a discussion like where we're all like, I have some of his songs I like, and I fucking hate it.
Yeah, like Power. It's like, damn it, why couldn't somebody else have just done this song? Why couldn't The Rock have done this?
He's not a very good musician. Have you heard that song about Poi that he made? It's fucking terrible. God.
I haven't seen Moana yet. I heard that he was actually a decent singer in that one, though.
Oh, yeah?
Maybe they just dubbed him over with somebody else, though. I don't know.
Hey, his song about Vicky was pretty fun.
Question number two from Awesome Piano Man. If I'm bored during Thanksgiving, well, you know, that's already passed by, but if he would have been bored during Thanksgiving, what apps should he play for free? I never play any apps or anything anymore. Everything I download, I hate.
Oh, I've got one for you. Uber, so you can get a fucking ride away from your relative's dry-ass drywall turkey that's fucking got shitty gravy on because fucking America for some reason decided to pick the most dry-ass rank bird it possibly could to celebrate fucking Thanksgiving. Hey, happy Thanksgiving. Here's a dry-ass bird, bitch.
Well, then you're cooking it wrong.
Oh, fuck off.
Everybody Every turkey I have ever had other than, like, Boston Market has been dry as all hell.
Like, there's this theory that everybody says that when they go, well, my turkey isn't dry, mine isn't.
And then you're trying to struggle. Fuck. I had two different types of turkey yesterday. I had a normal, like, baked in the oven turkey and one that was fried in one of those, big fryer kind of things. And you know the difference was? One of them was dry and the other one was dry and had a slightly crispy edge to it.
Everybody's told me that the best type of turkey to eat is fried turkey. And I guarantee it's still going to be dry and rank as fuck.
You just take a lot of gravy and you drown it in gravy and it's no longer dry.
Well, by that rationale, you can give me like dry cereal and if I dump a bunch of milk in my mouth and it's not, you know what
no,
I mean?
No, not milk, gravy. Put gravy on your cereal.
So like you want to have a happy Thanksgiving, your ass drops off at KFC or Popeyes before you come over.
Fuck that. Order a pizza. Pizza's so much better. Oh, I want a pizza so bad right now. Question number three. Will you be making a Sporkle quiz in the future based on Smark Out Moment? I didn't think about that. Although if everybody wants me to do it, maybe I'll try to do something for around Christmas or so. Because we're going to be not having as many crazy episodes because that's around Christmas. I ain't fucking working that much. But maybe, although if that's the case, I don't know what questions I would put in there.
Yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm thinking. What would it be? I don't know.
It's like, who is the most annoying out of the bunch?
Drew.
<It's> like, who's got the worst jokes? Miguel?
Drew.
So if you guys have any ideas for questions of something like that that you would like to see, throw them my way. Drop some comments below. And that reminds me too, by the way, for anybody leaving your comments on answering these, make sure, of course, as always, do those tags to let us know what question you're responding to.
So timestamp.
Yeah, timestamps. That's what it's called. You guys have any ideas of questions that we would put on that?
Shut up, Drew. It's not a question, but it's a statement everyone should know.
Something about the did you know or ask him, or I have no idea. I don't know.
The only thing I can think of is who won the, co-host of the year for this year or something like that.
Oh, here
by the way,
you
got to put your name on that for once, bitch.
Name all the people that we've done superstar scores for. There you go.
Oh, yeah. That could be a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's not even words. It's just.
I got rid of all the consonants and it's just all the vowels. Just. A lot of O's in there. Go to Peter Piccinini's questions. Number one, if Ryback was still with WWE, would he face Goldberg? Probably, but I could also see that being a situation where they didn't do it because it makes too much sense. WWE tends to do that. It's like Sting's finally in the company. We can finally have Undertaker Sting. That's Bray Wyatt. Sting's not going to be around in a year.
As much as I hate Ryback, I actually listened to his podcast and he commented on this. And he took the attitude is, oh, they're doing it now? What the fuck didn't they do it when I was there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
I mean, shit. I'm just happy Goldberg didn't get Ryback chance.
Okay. He comes out and everybody goes from Goldberg to feed me more. And he's like, that's this fucking bizarre land. What the hell?
You know what? Thank you, Canada. Because you behaved. Because you acted like normal wrestling fans. Because instead of throwing a fucking tantrum, they only did minimum, you screwed Brett Chance.
Oh, that's right. I didn't even think about that. Mm-hmm. They could have been going
ape shit about
that.
There was a few, but it was very small. So thank you for behaving and not acting like a bunch of fucking tards this time.
You kicked Brett.
Fucking marks.
Brett kicked Brett.
And Goldberg genuinely feels bad about the whole situation, so I'm glad they weren't cunts about it.
He should. He kicked him.
Right. I'm just going to fucking say it. Thanks, Goldberg.
Question two. Who had it worse at the end, TNA or WCW? TNA's still around. We don't know how bad that's going
to
get.
It's a slow, painful death. It's like pulling off a Band-Aid slowly as opposed to just ripping it off.
I'd say
prolonging the pain.
When TNA finally shuts its doors, TNA is going to have the worst history, the worst closure. At least WCW can say they had highs and lows. TNA says they had okay business and lows.
WCW went out with Monday Nitro, getting a huge audience to tune in to watch their show, going head-to-head with WWE. Mm-hmm. TNA is going to go out where they go. I guess we just can't do any more tapings.
They're going to go down as the company that fucking didn't utilize AJ Styles and lost him to two of the biggest promotions in the world. TNA is going to go down as the company that didn't pay any of its fucking employees. TNA is going to go down to the company that tried to basically steal money from a rock star that tried to save their asses. TNA is going to go down as the company that fed its top talent into the destructive portal known as Vince Russo. Like, this company is the utter cuntery of companies. It's terrible. It just needs to burn. It just needs to die. Every time that it gets a breath of life into it, I fucking can't stand it. Mm-hmm. Because the end result is always the same. TNA is easily the worst of the two. And guess what? The Final Deletion ain't revolutionizing shit. So it's dying.
Yeah, I haven't even heard any buzz about another one of those. So fuck them. Question number whatever we're on. B, I guess. Why does WWE promote two pre-show matches and only do one, or in this case, none and do two? They're fucking idiots. I think that they don't care at all.
It's because they're just making it up as they go along.
Can you rephrase that question and do it in song?
Give me a beat. I just wanted you to do a beat. No.
No. There was an angle like that. Did you ever see it where Christian tried to get Tomko to give him a beat?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he challenged Cena to a battle rap, and he goes, "Tomko, give me a beat." He just looks at him and goes, "No."
That must have been the best thing that Tomko ever did then, because everything else he did sucked.
Actually, it was a pretty good tag team with AJ Styles.
Yeah, he was pretty terrible.
Yeah, it was probably AJ.
Yeah, this is a case where WWE doesn't put any thought into their pre-shows. They think at the last minute, oh, crap, we need another match? Let's just throw so-and-so on there.
Yeah, they probably just look backstage like, who hasn't had a match tonight? Are you free? Oh, you got your gear on? Okay, go out there.
Yeah. Which sucked, because it doesn't take that much fucking effort to figure it out. 10 minutes to think about who else is on the roster? Shit, read my article. Every pay-per-view, I write up a thing about these people aren't on the roster yet. Read that for 5 minutes, and then go, yeah, okay, let's put them on there.
That's probably where they get their ideas.
Nah, I put better ideas out there than that.
Let's take Tony's ideas, but make them shittier.
Yeah, that's what happens. Backstage, if you put a microphone in there, you're fly on the wall kind of a thing. That's what they're saying. Let's fuck up Tony's ideas. Every time. Question number whatever. Do you think Emma on Raw and Ryder on SmackDown is like the Paige Del Rio situation? I don't think so.
Since they're broken up? No.
No.
No, I think this is where they thought that they just didn't really know where they were going to put Emma because she was injured during the brand split. And Ryder on SmackDown makes sense. And they probably, you know, now that she got back in training and everything, they were probably like, you know what? Raw needs her more.
They're not dating. I don't really see why this is an issue.
No, Emma and Ryder are dating.
No, they're broken up.
Oh, they broke up?
Yeah, for a while.
What are you, fucking TMZ? How do you got the scoop?
I have all the scoops.
I thought that they were still dating.
Nah.
Huh.
Are they still banging at least?
I don't know.
I thought you knew everything, man.
He's dating Emma, not Emmalina.
Do you know who they're dating now?
No!
Well, you know that they broke it up.
I read a report about it. I didn't fucking ask, like, do follow-up questions with them.
It's time for Celebrity Gossip with Stephen Wago.
They tried that with Adam Cole. It was terrible. Adam Rose.
Well, I'd be pissed if I was Ryder, where, like, you break up with Emma, and then she starts doing this makeover where she's looking better than ever. Although that would make a little bit of sense.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it?
Isn't that what girls usually do?
Yeah, it's usually like, my life sucks, I need to make a change, so let me cut off my hair, and, you know. Oh, I hope she doesn't do that. She has been looking good, though. Don't want to make any more chewed gum jokes anymore. Ah, what the hell, I still will. So, in 2016...
Funny, I just tried to find the report for you guys, and...
doesn't exist.
Well, that's true. But everything that's coming up is just Zack Ryder cancer, and it's funny. Whenever I watch him in the ring, all I see is cancer, too.
I like Ryder. Stop picking on him. To an extent.
You laugh when I do it, so deal with it.
It's still funny. In 2016, would you have ever imagined the Spirit Squad and Headbangers back on TV? Not fucking at all.
And it goes to show how fucking watered down this roster is, doesn't it?
Yeah, I was going to say, if the brand split wouldn't have happened, we wouldn't have sunk this low.
It's funny. Although, it's like every episode, there's the dialogue. If only the brand split was.
No, I think you're right. Bland split.
It is a bland split.
Anyway. I'll admit, though, both teams have been a lot better than I thought they would have been. Like, Headbangers are in better shape. I thought the last time I saw them that they were all, like, fat and everything. They look like they used to. And Spirit Squad, I mean, I'm not really a big fan of Mikey, but I'd be cool with them signing Dykstra to another contract. He's what, like, he was like 19 when they signed him originally, so now he's 27 maybe or something. Still pretty young. Maybe even, like, 31 or whatever, but he could still be on the roster. I'd be cool with that. Mikey can, you know, he can leave. Who was the dude that hasn't popped up yet? Because they've had... It was those two, then it was Ziggler, and then...
It was Nick, Mikey.
Sean.
Kenny. Mitch?
Mitch, yeah. Mitch.
Fucking Mitch.
Dean Ambrose's plant?
Fucking Mitch.
Wouldn't it be great if that's who they brought out with them?
Mitch. You know, sadly... Mitch the Plant coming back would probably get a big pop.
Get a big pop. He was over.
He's like, a potential choice for the best extra character of the year this year.
List.
Yeah, I was going to say, is the list on the list?
The list is over as fuck right now.
I'm still 50-50 about whether I should add the list.
I have to.
It's just a prop, and it hasn't been given a name. That's the thing. Like, Francesca the Trombone and Agnes the Bagpipes, they've got names.
It's the list of Jericho. That's its name. The list of
Jericho.
Maybe. If you don't add it, I'm going to be pissed and quit the show.
If I do add the list is winning.
Add it to the list.
You know what list? You just made the list. Jesus. Maybe. What question were we on? Spirit Squad one. Okay, Tony, do you like doing the shows alone or together? I know it is scheduling conflicts, but will a band ever come back together? I got three people in this one.
Yeah, so suck
it. A three-man band until one of us doesn't show up next week.
And then it's a one-man band. No, I really like doing a three-man setup the best. I think that the way, like, I mean, you can listen to this one. We're going back and forth, but it's not, like, nobody's talking too long or too short. I think when we get, like, four or more, it starts getting to where nobody can really talk all that much, or it just goes on for fucking ever.
But Tony, joke here that doesn't have any context.
You're going to want to edit this out later. I don't like doing the one-man shows. It's easy, like, to edit and everything like that because I don't have to do as much editing and whatever. The episodes are half as long, but it's not as good. I'll fully admit that. Like, if I can't do it back and forth, then it's not as fun. So yeah, the whole thing is scheduling.
I think three people is the ideal number.
Some of your long shows are better. Depends who you got on.
It depends on the topics, too. You know, if we have a bunch of lunch bags for the hot tags, then, you know, it's not going to be as good as if we've got some crazy small package to talk about or anything like that. So it's all a scheduling thing, though. I mean, if I can get more people on, I always try to get more people on. So blame these guys. I actually might do some kind of an open house thing. Maybe call it In Your House. I don't know.
There you go.
But, if I do something like that, then I'll put something out there for people to join in. I'm looking a little bit into Facebook Live and the YouTube Live stuff. So I might try to get more people involved that way. But who knows?
So, who knows?
I know that most people are going to say that they don't like the one man shows, and that's going to be that, like, that feedback survey that I put up. People are going to be like, "Yeah, it's not as good as it used to be." That's I'm doing the best I can do. Fuck you.
It's either that or no content. So
exactly, either we don't have hot tags for multiple weeks in a row, or I do it on my own. You know. Although now that 205 Live is happening, I might not be able to do hot tags on Tuesday nights anymore. I might have to push that back. So in the future, we might have to have a different setup where maybe we do like Wednesdays. We don't have the hot tags in the Ask Him. Maybe we do like the predictions for the pay-per-view that week or something like that. And maybe Fridays we do more episodes. I don't know.
You're insistent that if we do a show on a Friday that it's not going to get many hits. Will any of you care if Tony does one of the segments more often on Friday? I want to put it into test.
Tell me whether or not you will help with the hits. There you go. Share it around more, that kind of stuff. I mean, at the very least, we can try it one time. One time's not going to kill me. But if 205 Live gets into the mix a little bit and messes that up, then we might be rescheduling a little bit. And if we reschedule in a way that we can get more people involved, then who knows? So pay attention to what's happening over the next few weeks, because that's going to be a good indicator. January, by the time January comes along, we'll figure it out, because then we get the holidays and yeah, it's all crazy. Last question from Peter here. And then we have, I think, two from Solomon to Doom. Can Brock Lesnar ever show his face again in WWE after his match with Goldberg? Of course.
Oh, yeah.
Brock broke the streak. Looking back, would you rather have somebody else break the streak? Wago, I'm going to start with you on this one.
Who's the only guy that shouldn't have done it?
Nobody else?
Nope. Never. I mean, you could have tried it with Orton back when he was doing the Legend Killer thing, but then he still wouldn't have been in the right spot for it.
Kaelin, what about you? Because I do have somebody I think I rather would have had.
I know not a lot of people are going to agree with this, but it should have been John Cena.
That's my pick.
Should have been John Cena, and this should have led to the much, much desired John Cena heel turn. I would have squeezed in one more title run before this, have Cena hold the title one more time and drop it again. So it would have been Taker versus Cena with the title on the line. And it was the streak versus John Cena getting his record 16th or tying the record for 16th title run. And Cena would win by some devious means. He'd be so obsessed with, you know, getting that record that he would cheat. And, you know, like somehow with, you know, foot on the ropes or getting a low blow or something, but he would cheat. So that would lead to a John Cena heel turn, which would be huge. He would break the streak, which would be huge. So having those two things together, that would have fucking blown everybody's mind. I think it would have been wonderful.
I think you couldn't do the title at the same time, because then that over, like, that's two times that you can do a big thing with Cena. But I do think Undertaker retirement match, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's an Inferno match.
An Inferno in a cage inside of a bamboo structure, too.
You know, if you play SmackDown, just bring it 100 times, you'll unlock that match.
You also have to use strength for the truck, right? Silent Wood of Doom's questions here. Are there any creatures?
Yours, Tony? You didn't say it. Yours was
John Cena.
Okay.
Yeah, John Cena beating Undertaker in a retirement match.
Okay.
I would have gone with that. So basically, as much as I don't want to see The Undertaker retire, I think he could have won the past few years, and whenever he decides to retire, that could have been John Cena's thing.
All right, and I thought you were going to come up with something original and not just heel. Copy my answer. Okay.
Silent of Doom's questions here. We got a couple more on the website itself that we've answered a couple of these before. But let's see here. Are there any creatures that you would like to rename to something better?
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, I'm assuming you mean animals.
You fucking weirdo.
I like when people call raccoons trash pandas. For some reason, that just like hits my funny bone. I think it's hilarious. It pisses me off a little bit that beetles aren't a form of bee, because it's bee in there. It's like you could have named it anything else other than bee. You change one letter and it throws it all off. But the only thing I could think of, because it's hard to think of, like, you know, what would you rather name a cat? It's like, I don't know. But guinea pigs, they're not from Guinea, and they're not pigs. So you should have named it something closer to what they are, which are like the hamster, rat, kind of gerbily kind of things. And if they're all rodents, and they're these round little fluff balls, I got the name for them. Roundins.
Fuck yourself.
I think for bullfrogs, I would have called them chazwazers.
Damn it.
Damn it, why didn't I think about that one?
But seriously, flying foxes. They're not foxes, they're bats. Why do you call them flying foxes? They're fucking bats. So that's what I would do.
And those things don't fly either, they glide.
That's true.
I'd call the
bats fly.
I'd call the platypus a fuck duck because they're just fucking ducks.
It's just like the derpiest animal.
Okay, like it's bad enough that it looks like it's a fucking weasel mixed with a duck. It's got poisonous elbows. Who the fuck gives anything poisonous fucking elbows?
I'd hate to be sitting next to one of there where it wants to do one of those things where it's like, it's all on you.
Know what I mean? Know what I mean? Oh, shit. Sorry, Tony.
You know what I mean? Oh, you're dead? How perfect of a name, though, is sloth?
Those things pretty fucking accurate, right?
And they're just like the chillest thing in the world. They just like hang on a branch and they're just like, yo, this is awesome. Sup? On the same token, are there any cryptozoological or supernatural things not of a religious nature that you believe exist or could exist? I am huge into conspiracy theories and cryptids and all sorts of different things like that. So I don't think most of the reports about them are true. Like, especially if you even talk about like aliens, when people are like, you know, oh, yeah, I was beamed up and they shoved something up my ass and all that. I don't buy any of that stuff for the most part, but we don't even know everything that's on the surface of our planet, let alone all the shit in the ocean. Mm-hmm. And then if you talk about the alien stuff too, on top of that, it's like then all the galaxies and all that. Some of the stuff has to be true. People would have thought that the Megalodon wasn't a real thing, and we found teeth that are the size of like a fucking house. So if we keep finding stuff like that, the dodo bird and coelacanth and all that stuff, who's to say that Bigfoot doesn't exist? It's some kind of, you know, same thing as the abominable snowman and the Yetis and all that, Sasquatch. It could just be this weird version of a bear or something. Loch Ness Monster. Who's to say that there's not some kind of fucking dinosaur still living down in the ocean?
I don't specifically believe in any certain thing, but more often than not, you'll find something that was once conspiracy actually be given an argument or a hint of truth to later on in life. There's a bunch of shit that we just simply don't know, so I try and stay open-minded. I don't blow things off as a conspiracy theory. If there's an ounce of truth to it, there's something there, even if it's not the big picture that people like to theorize. So, nothing specific, but a lot of people like to just wave anything off as bullshit. I say keep an open mind because you don't want to be on the wrong side of history.
There's a lot of unexplained phenomena, so we don't know everything. And like you were saying, there's a lot of creatures that are being identified all the time. We recognize new species and name them and stuff like that, but as far as, you know, the big ones, I think I'm erring on the side of not believing until there's more evidence. Sure, there's things that are unexplained, but I think there's rational explanations for everything.
And for the most part, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of stuff that's really inexplicable, but I'm sure there's some good reason for it. I don't think it's, you know, a wizard did it. as far as, you know, I don't believe in ghosts. But I do believe that there probably is some sort of life, extraterrestrial life, but I don't think that it's ever made contact with anything here on Earth. It's probably, you know, so far away and either so far in the past or so far in the future. Or there's got to be some other life besides what's here on Earth.
I got to bring up one thing. Flat Earth people.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Kill yourself.
How dumb can you be?
Like, there's clearly no hope for you. Don't breed. Don't raise kids. Don't have an opinion online. Delete your social media accounts. Fuck off. You are the dumbest of the fucking dumb. There is no hope for you.
Isn't that Tila Tequila Chick one of those?
Oh, no. Really? some MTV chick, right?
Really hot, but like the worst type of personality for everything other than being attractive.
She had a show on MTV or something. I've never seen it, but
it's like a shot in her mouth or something.
It's like, oops, flat. Motherfucker, there's pictures.
Tell that to any astronaut that's been out there and went like, oh, look at that big marble.
How about, all right, tell a plane to fucking fly for on just flat.
Right? And what do you say to people who think that the Earth is only a couple thousand years old, too?
Oh, that's so dumb.
You're not about those New Age Christians that fucking think that. Those are some dumb motherfuckers. Jesus
all
Christ.
All dinosaurs are all fake.
It's to test your faith, yes.
But I do think that, like, I mean, you can take a lot of these things that are, like Bigfoot, for instance. They'll go around and it's like, you see this big pattern in the mud? That must mean Bigfoot. And it's like, no, that doesn't mean shit. That means that there's some kind of an imprint on the ground. It could be a dude with a weird fucking shoe or anything. It could be that somebody has a Bigfoot shoe print and went around stomping in the fucking ground. Like, but I mean, when you look at the other people and they go like, it can't possibly happen that we have anything in the ocean that we're not aware of. And then they go, yeah, by the way, we found like a squid that's the size of a fucking bridge. And, you know, we don't know what's happening down a certain amount of miles or whatever like that. We could have the fucking Cloverfield monster down there for all we know. That could be a documentary. Really happened. So yeah, some cryptids,
you know,
maybe.
This would be a great topic for, let's say, an all talk show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we don't do those.
I do want to bring that back.
Oh no, it's weird. Everything's just been kind of hush about it.
Shh. Don't say anything.
It's the no talk show.
Let's see what else we have here. If you could make your perfect commentary teams with the people that currently work for WWE, who would you pick? Would you have two different ones or just one for both nights? This was a little tough for me because I can't figure out what I would do with Mauro Ranallo. I like Michael Cole and JBL together, and I really like Corey Graves and Tom Phillips together. So I don't know what I would do with Mauro Ranallo. Like, Cole
and JBL
and
Raw? I didn't hear the full question. I don't see it here.
Commentary teams of what you would do with people in the company right now. You know, we got the 4-man team on SmackDown, which makes no sense. And then 3-man on Raw. Then we've got Corey Graves and Mauro are going to be for the 205 Live. And
can we all agree that David Otunga should just not be on commentary at all?
And Byron. I'm of the opinion that three people is too many on a commentary team. You only need two people, babyface, to tell the story and call the action in the ring, and the heel just to be the antagonist. You can sometimes work it okay with a third person, but typically someone's opinion gets lost, somebody's waiting to talk, someone's worried about talking over the other. It's much easier just to have the two people build a chemistry, build a rapport, and do that. If I had to pick any two people, I'd have Mauro and Corey Graves on the one team, and fuck, I hate Michael Cole. And I just have Mauro and fucking Corey do everything.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Just have
that
pair.
Like, yeah,
that's the best pair.
Michael Cole's bad. I don't care. He's a bad commentator. People call him an announcer. He's not an announcer. He's a fucking salesman.
That's kind of true. Mm-hmm. I still like him, though. But if you had to use somebody like a Byron Saxton somewhere, I think throw him on, like, Superstars where nobody watches it. Just give those other people a little bit of time off, you know?
Michael Cole would be much better utilized as a personality that kind of, you can have him in the announcer's area that transitions the show between things and between segments and does those interviews in the ring. He's really just
WWE. He's awesome at that.
He's nothing. He's everything else, though. I'm sick of, like, I'm not being one of those people that jump to his defenses. It's too many Michael Cole apologists. He's a bad commentator.
I've just had enough of him.
Tell me one guy that Michael Cole's gotten over since, like, just as a regular announcer, not when he was this fucking color commentator hybrid thing.
I'll tell you one thing that he did that nobody else has ever done. He was amazing on NXT. That whole gong and everything.
But then again, that's what I'm saying. That's that heel persona that he went with. He wasn't an announcer back then. He was a color commentator. It was different.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So,
man, I missed that gong.
As he was very funny. I loved what he did in the Davis matches because the Davis matches were just as bad then. Don't get me wrong. I don't dislike that character. I thought it was hilarious. I'm just saying, as an announcer, he's never gotten anyone over. He's never had one memorable call. There's a reason why The Undertaker and Triple H requested that Jim Ross come back for their match. Michael Cole sucks.
You know who I think has always been really overrated? Joey Styles.
Very overrated. Yeah. I never got to comment on that whole fucking situation, but it's done and dead with, thank God. But generally, he's just an overrated commentator. There's a lot of good guys on the independents right now, and people need to stop looking to the old and start going with the new.
I did like Heyman when Heyman was a commentator. He was
Heyman is one of my top three color commentators of all time.
Yeah, he was good.
Heyman was good, yeah. Heenan, to me, is still probably the best heel commentator.
Honestly, yeah, I'd probably have to say Heenan. Then
Lawler was great for a while.
Yeah, then I'd say Paul Heyman, and then I'd say Jerry Lawler Prime back when he was just offensive.
I really hated Booker. I really hated Taz.
Booker is the worst color commentator of all time as far as I'm concerned, and that's saying a lot because Byron Saxton has a job.
You know who was underrated? I think he actually should have gotten a little bit more praise. Matt Stryker.
I think Matt Stryker's a fantastic commentator. I think he's a better announcer than he is a color commentator. But
I thought he was just very average.
I thought he was solid. I think he got a lot. I think he was made to look like an idiot by the people that sat by him. They clearly didn't like him, and they showed that on the broadcast. And when you do that to somebody, they can't get over. Their shit's not going to stick. It's part of the reason why we all hate Byron. There's an element to that. I guarantee he'd be a much better broadcaster without being hammered on all the time. And I mean, you've seen it. He's much better since JBL went. JBL, that's a guy that's fucking terrible that needs to go away.
JBL has no chemistry with anybody right now other than Michael Cole.
He doesn't have chemistry with Michael Cole either. He shouts over him half the time. He has good days with Michael Cole, but he doesn't have a good chemistry, Michael Cole.
Him with Mauro, it doesn't work. Mauro Nalo's,
with three fucking people doesn't work.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Mauro Nalo by himself is like enough energy.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of annoying, too.
The best commentary team I've seen all year was Mauro Ranallo and Daniel Bryan.
That was actually pretty good.
You had two people that were genuinely loving pro wrestling.
And Michael, not Michael Cole, Daniel Bryan was always surprised. Oh my God, did you see that? let's see. We do have two other questions here. I'm not sure if we've addressed it at other times, though. Obviously, Tony hates Becky's accent. What are the most and least hot accents for you guys?
You actually do a pretty good Becky.
Well, when she says, "Op."
Just general. I've seen you go to a rant where you've taken the piss out of her. It always amuses me because I'm like, he's not wrong. I just don't hate it like he does. And that's probably because there's a lot of Brummy women that's slang for Birmingham accent that talk like that, so I'm kind of used to it.
Like, Becky is so attractive, and she seems like such a sweet girl, and I like her in the ring. Shut up. Just do not talk.
That can be said about a lot of women, because I keep hearing that Sasha Banks is this like future of the women's division, but I don't see it when she cuts a promo. She's fucking terrible.
She and Bayley and Charlotte, none of them can. Actually, I don't know if there's any women right now that can Bayley, really cut a good promo other than Alexa Bliss.
I was going to say Alexa's good.
Bayley isn't terrible. She's just got to find her character a little more. She's dropped a few pegs on Raw, and I think it's because of how heavily they script her. People need to just start taking the scripts and throwing them in the trash. It's better to ask for forgiveness than it is permission.
Yeah. I mean, I can't stand, like, the next time Nia Jax talks and she's just kind of, like, got this dainty voice that doesn't match her. And
I'm not defending Nia Jax. I've refused to. She's fucking terrible. She's terrible in ring. She's terrible on the microphone. For everyone complaining about her getting tapped out, that was probably the best thing that could have happened.
Yeah. Braun Strowman got the count out thing, so you can't use it for her, too.
Submissions,
they never repeat shit the same time in the same show, you know?
The whole concept of what a submission is meant to be something that once it's in, you're fucked. There is no, I can reach for the ropes bullshit. No, you're meant to be tapped out in, like, seconds.
So, or the whole, like, she's got my arm bending the opposite way, but I'm a pretty big woman. And because I've got big hips, that's not going to hurt my arm. It's like, no, your arm still fucking hurts. You can be like a bodybuilder, like an Arnold Schwarzenegger, and you stub your toe. And you're like,
I guess you have to throw some of that away for the pageantry of wrestling, but that's only if people actually give a fuck.
Yeah.
And most people don't.
Well, as far as the accent stuff goes, I hate almost every accent for the most part.
Oh, thanks. All right. See you guys.
Yeah. The classier English accent that people like Elizabeth Hurley and Kate Beckinsale and stuff that they have, like a Keira Knightley, that's hot. But that the Cockney chimney sweep type of thing, I hate that one. The whole like real strong gutter mouth type of English accent.
I like Wade Barrett at the end. Wade Barrett was awesome.
Yeah, the Wade Barrett accent, that's like that throws me off. Like Wade Barrett. It's like, dude, what are you fucking choking on when you're talking?
There's no real accents that I find particularly attractive, but there are definitely ones that I find unattractive. And yes, the strong Irish or the strong like the Cockney accent or even like the
thing. The Irish accent can be very endearing depending on who's talking. They just happen to pick people that sound annoying as fuck. You take a look at Conor McGregor and he's absolutely beloved.
One that I don't like is the American Southern accent.
Awful. Oh, God. Yeah. Cannot stand that.
The hillbilly accent, I guess.
AJ Styles is pretty on point, though.
Y'all and everything. Even like the speech patterns in general without the accent, where it's just like, you know, well, we'll be spitting in the wind. And it's like, you're spitting in the wind? What are you talking about? And French and Italian can be okay. I really hate a lot of Hispanic accents. Anything that's like real harsh, like German. You know, you mean to tell me that there's going to be like a German woman that's going to talk sexy? It's like, you know, hey, baby, what do you want me to do? It's like, oh, fuck.
So to answer your question, we're all a bunch of nationalists.
Very much. Although I even hate some of the accent things in my own area. You know, the Philly type of accent where people will say like coffee a little bit and like, water. Took me years to not say water.
Water. Around here, people say wash. I'm going to go wash my clothes.
Oh, I hate that so much. I had a teacher that every time he would say George Washington, it was always George Washington. And I used to really tease him. I used to add an R real big when I would write it out just to piss him off.
By the way, like
W-A, capital R, Shington.
What is it with Midwesterners fucking apologizing for everything? You're like, ooh, sorry. Stop fucking saying sorry.
That's Canadian.
It's like the Canadian thing, too, yeah. Sorry. You want a donut?
Stop saying sorry. You don't need to apologize for everything.
Sorry for saying sorry. You want some syrup?
Yes, I would like some syrup. Go for pancakes right now.
Pancakes right now, yeah. Or French toast.
All right, let's wrap this up so I can go eat.
I was going to say, let's get some pancakes.
Yeah, this is getting real hungry. Final last one that we have here, actually. This is the one that Silent of Doom squeaked in at the last minute. He says, I had an argument with my friend because he contests that the greatest heel of all time is Eric Bischoff. I argued that he wasn't even the best heel authority figure, with the McMahons easily beating him, but my friend argues that Bischoff is the greatest because while people have at times rooted for the McMahons, Bischoff has never been the good guy and never been rooted for even as a heel by the audience. What do you think of this reasoning? What do you think of who do you think is greatest heel of all time?
A testament to a truly good heel is that they eventually get turned face by the audience. And the fact that that never happened to Eric Bischoff is the absolute fuck you to your friend.
See, I think he's got a good point, though. But I still would go with Vince McMahon. Because Bischoff was just like a slimy businessman, and that's it. Vince went everywhere from slimy businessman, sexist pig, incest, fucking rapist type of people, cult leader. He's all over the place. And if you go with, like, Bischoff being booed, yeah, but, you know, Vince McMahon seemed like the devil himself at times.
The testament to a truly good heel is the fact that the fans turn him babyface eventually. Eric Bischoff's been consistent as a heel, but he's not been truly great.
Not even in the whole NWO thing and stuff?
No, not really. I mean, he just kind of hung out with the bad guys. The truly over people were Nash, Hogan, and the druggy guy. So, like, Eric Bischoff had his place, and he was definitely a solid heel, but there's no way he was even the top 5 heels. Maybe not even top 10. Maybe not even top 20.
Maybe not. Caleb, what do you think about this? Bischoff, McMahon?
Oh, it's got to be Mr. McMahon. Vince has been consistently the best heel ever since he took on that persona. And he's gone through many variations of it. Going against, you know, the whole Stone Cold thing was gold. So I can't really think of anybody that I would put above him.
I think Ric Flair is up there. He's great.
Even who else is up there? Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Ted DiBiase's got to be up there.
I don't know if he was that hated, to be quite honest. Don't get me wrong, it was a solid gimmick and one of the most fun, but the true, like, if there are, did he really get that much heat? I never remember him getting, like, a horrible reception where the fans just loathed him.
I guess, like, the thing with him and Andre and the Hogan thing, that's probably, like, the peak of that, but if you count whether or not I legit hated them or if I laughed at it and stuff like that, then I couldn't count DiBiase, because every time I watched that footage of him kicking the ball away from the kid, I laughed my ass off.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, you relate with him too much.
Yeah, he's such a dick. It's like, oh man, that's right. Everybody does have a price. Ha 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 ha. Alrighty, guys, those are the questions for the mailbag for November. I'm not sure when we're going to do our December one based off the whole holidays and stuff like that, but if you weren't able to get a question in for this month and you have something on your mind, then throw that my way as soon as possible. I'll backlog it. We'll get around to it when we get around to it. We have more than enough stuff coming around over the next few weeks. We got TLC coming up, so we got to do our predictions and then the post-show for that one. Then eventually Roadblock is going to happen. We're not too sure about Slammy Awards, but we might do something special for that. I think I might do another Sporkle quiz, probably based off of TLC. And actually, no, I already did that, didn't I? I think I did. Maybe I'll do something for the Slammy Awards, though, for the Sporkle quiz. And then we got the 2016 Smarkout Moment Awards, which I still haven't figured out how I'm going to do that yet. Kind of depends on our scheduling again. So maybe we'll do some audio things. Maybe we'll do like one video. I'm not too sure about that. And make sure you fill out that feedback survey as well that I mentioned in the hot tags. And just stay tuned for all that stuff. So last thing for us to do is round out some plugs other than those. Wego, what do you want to toss out?
All right, so I am getting UDMMA sorted back up and having all that functioning again. So until then, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, like us on YouTube or whatever, on Facebook. I'm having a long day. But UDMMA, check it out. Bada boom.
And Kalen?
Bada boom. You can check me out on Twitter at Kalen Ferris. Check out Northwest Ohio Wrestling on Facebook. And if you're going to be in the Toledo area on Friday, December 2nd, you want to check out Uprising 4, the Aurora Gonzalez Belief Center. We got a great show going on. Doors are at 6:15. Tickets start at $10. And we're going to have a lethal lottery. And that one is going to work with all the wrestlers picking numbers out of a hat to find out their opponent. And whoever draws the number of the champion gets a title shot that night. It's going to be interesting.
Damn, I was hoping to get the hat. I was going to put my name in.
Free hat.
Free hat.
Well, you got the two bada booms, so bada bing. Coming up soon is going to be the ding, ding, ding.
Hate you.
I felt like no. Drew hasn't done anything stupid like that in a while. And, you know, I had to just
end the show before I end you.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Smarkout Moment. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already, guys. And if that stupid-ass joke didn't scare you off, at least it was at the end, right? Give us a thumbs up for this video as well. Pass us along, share it all over the place, and stay tuned, as I mentioned before. But this has been another Smarkout Moment, and we're being counted out.